Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. And Jason's didn't have the bishop cut his power off, so he's with us for right now.
Yo, can you introduce me as a host too, motherfucker? Shit. The fuck I gotta do to gain a title? Whatever.
You're the host.
Golly.
I don't know.
I've been on long enough, I think, to earn a title or two.
We can talk about that in details after dark. What you gotta do?
All right.
So did you get your? Permission slip signed by the bishop, so you don't have to cut your power off? As
you know what it is, man. Look, man. Last week we had a freak storm roll through, knocked out my power and shit. So I was like, all right, cool. And then we get a hurricane and no power. I had power the whole time, even though we really didn't get hit. Half of Tampa's underwater, so. You know,
yeah.
Prayers and thoughts to the ones up north.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean,
how are you doing, Alex?
Do what?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
You seem a little distracted.
Sorry, I put my phone down now. I was trying to. I was trying to pull up the live feed so I could see when people comment, because I'm sure we already have some comments going on. Yeah, the champs. So, yeah, man. No, I'm good, dude. It was nice. You know, Haley didn't have school today, so I got to I got to sleep in. Slept in till like 9 o'clock, bro. Dude, I haven't done that in a hot minute. So that was pretty nice.
I got to get a feeling that I haven't felt in like probably 30 years of hearing the words of no school. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, I saw your little dancing around video or whatever.
Oh, yeah, man. You put up.
No, man, it was nice. It was nice to sleep in a little bit. Haley stayed the night at a friend's last night, so didn't even have her around. So it was good stuff. It was a good day, man. As the warrior poet Ice Cube once said, today was a good day.
Damn.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's get into business here. TheDetailSolutionsPodcast.com. I'm just going to say it's the best. I'm going to say it every time. I don't give a shit. It's the best. It's the best website on the planet for detailing anyways. I'm sure there's some other good websites. But for detailing, it's the best because it has all the links on where you can find us, social media. It has the Apple link, take you straight to the Apple Podcasts. It has a Spotify link, take you right to Spotify. I think we're like right next to Joe Rogan, so pretty easy to find. But more importantly, and this is probably the best part of the website, is we have the preferred vendors page. Mm-hmm. Where all of our wonderful ad sponsors are listed with a link directly to their website and that all-important coupon code. The coupon code that so many people message me and say, hey, what's the coupon code? It's on the podcast. It's in the show notes. It's on the website.
Listen to the show and, listen to the show. We have commercials during the show. You can get the discount codes there.
Exactly.
Stop asking Alex.
Yeah. And then you're gonna save that money but you're gonna spend money with them, right? And they're gonna spend some money with us. We're gonna make you laugh. You're gonna get that hashtag money. But more importantly, you're gonna save yourself some good money there. Mm-hmm. And then we have the merch store, you know, where you can go and scoop some t-shirts, some hats. I know one of our guests tonight, JP, I know he got a hat, I believe.
He ain't even wearing it.
I know. It's all right. He's probably got it in a case somewhere or something. You know, like it's too cool. So, yeah. And then we're not streaming live to YouTube anymore. You've pulled that down for the time.
We are. Remember we talked about it?
We're going to go back. Well, we're not tonight.
Yeah, yes, I put it up there.
No, you
we're
didn't.
We're on YouTube right now.
No, we're not.
I have it on there. It says it on my thing.
It doesn't say it on my thing.
Yeah, let me look. Go ahead, continue.
You better check, because if we are streaming on YouTube, you can watch us on the Detail Solutions Podcast channel. I don't think we are, because it's not on mine. So, yeah, it's another one. Jason's getting too busy with his schoolwork. He's not going to be able to do cool stuff with the YouTube anymore. So we're going to go back to streaming it, I guess. TikTok, we're on. If you're on TikTok, are we on YouTube?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I told you.
Okay. It's just not showing up on mine. So whatever. No, who said no YouTube? Facebook's
Cam. He probably don't even know how to use YouTube.
My Facebook's acting up again, so.
Yeah. Cam said it. But we're on YouTube. Okay. I'm watching us right now as we speak.
Okay, cool. If you're on TikTok, I lost my spot. If you're on TikTok, please go follow us, the Detail Solutions Pod. Yeah, there you are. Yeah, YouTube. Okay, cool. The Detail Solutions Pod. If you're on TikTok, we are at 720 something, I think, 30 something. So we're getting close to that 1,000 that we need to go live. So appreciate everybody who's following us there. If you guys happen to be a fan of Dave Portnoy and the One Bite Challenge, please go check out the video I made. I did a little one pass. Everybody knows the rules challenge for some compounds and polish reviews. You get a nice little laugh out of it. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please reach out to send us an email. Reach out to us and send us an email at detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. I check that kind of periodically every few days. So if I don't get back to you right away, don't freak out. I'll see it eventually. And then I'll send you a mail or I'll send you an email back. Please go like, subscribe, share, follow, notification buttons, all that fun stuff wherever you are following us or listening to us, please. Leave us a review. 5 stars would be awesome, especially on Spotify. And if you're on Apple, take a couple of seconds and actually write a review would be even better. Greatly appreciate it. That's all I got. You got anything?
No, sir.
No? Commercial? Guests? Topic?
Commercial.
We'll do that?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go do a commercial and be right back with our guests and topic. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads. Towels? Got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint. The all-new men on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And then the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot, it's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And then the new wheel pawl for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All righty, and we are back. We've got JP Myers and Donnie Anderson. How you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Doing good, guys. Doing good.
So the other day, Tuesday, I think it was. No. Was it? Wait, yeah. Was it yesterday? No. Monday? I don't know.
Yesterday. Whatever. Yeah.
Was it yesterday? Okay. Thank you, guys. I posed a question in the discussion group. What's the one thing you feel that you just can't master in your business? And then I kind of, you know, titled it to, you know, whether it's paint correction, finishing down, is it, you know, marketing, is it hiring, is it, you know, having confidence in your pricing or raising your pricing, things like that. Because I think there's a lot of things that, you know, we all just feel like we can't just get, you know. I have the problem, I feel like, with marketing, right? Like, it feels like no matter what I do with marketing, it just doesn't work, right?
Just throwing spaghetti at a wall.
Right, right. You know, like, everybody's like, you know, over on the West, you know, like, we're making, you know, tons of money with, you know, Facebook. So I run West and I'm doing Facebook and like nothing. And then everybody North is like, we're making crazy money on Instagram. And I go running North to Instagram, and we're over here with AdWords, and I run over there with AdWords. And it's like, nothing seems to just like really kind of hit for me. So, you know, that's the one thing. And I've kind of talked with Jason about it, that, you know, just kind of gets me down a little bit. Like, I'm like, fuck, man, like, why can't I do this? So I know, you know, having you guys on, because you both kind of had, you guys had different answers, which was awesome. Donnie, yours was kind of more of like that self-confidence of being able to, you know, raise your prices and do sales and stuff like that. And then JP, yours kind of being that marketing and hiring was it hiring too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to invite you guys on and just kind of, you know, talk about this and, you know, hopefully other people that are kind of having this same issue or same feeling, you know, feel good about it.
Thank you. I want to say thank you guys for coming on and being kind of vulnerable, because this is a topic that does kind of make a business owner feel vulnerable to open up like this and talk about something like this. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, like what I was saying in the comment is, it's just a self-confidence issue. I've already got so far in my business. I've been in business almost going on 14 years now, being successful. But in the back of my mind, I'm just a little guy. I'm not worth all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So the self-confidence really comes into it, and it's lasted this whole career. You know what I'm saying? So I have to work on it daily and allow myself to push forward. I pushed myself pretty good when I first started the business and got myself really going. But then after that died down, I have to like keep pushing myself to go further, because now you get comfortable, basically. A lot of people get comfortable. So it's hard to push past that. And then you got to get out of your comfort zone and then hire employees, raise the prices, like you were saying, make sales. You just got to have a lot of confidence to do stuff like this. A lot of guys got it to the roof. Me, I just wasn't born with it like that. So I have to work on it. So
no, and I feel the same way, because I'm kind of the same. I mean, I you know, told the story just a couple of weeks ago when I was talking with Matt Burrows, you know, about it. You know, the first time I went up to Noxie's, you know, and Noxie's like, just go home and raise it $200. Like, what's $200, right? They're already spending, you know, $1,000, whatever, you know. And it was just like, you know, the next coding, you know, well, how much? And it, you know, and I was like, you know, and I said that price, you know, plus $200, you know, and it was like, okay, cool, like, when do we set it up, you know? But
exactly,
like,
yeah,
but there still was like that lack of confidence in my voice, you know, like, you know, it's almost like I was asking them like, $1,600,
right?
Does that sound good to you? Like,
right. Well, and you're well worth it, and you know you're worth it, and
right?
It still makes you.
It's hard, you know, because, like, you know, especially me, like, I came from the car wash. Everybody kind of knows that, you know. And I mean, like, the most expensive thing at the car wash was like $200 for a full detail, right, inside and out, like, with you know, a rotary buff and polish kind of job, you know. So, like, I always had that mentality that, like, the fuck is gonna pay this much money to have their car detailed, right?
Exactly. Because,
like, I still think that I'm still like where are these people come, you know? Like, I mean, I guess we as detailers have dictated the pricing enough now that it's just out there and it's known, and people know, like, hey, I'm gonna be, you know, paying a couple $1,000 for a detail now.
But it wasn't always like that.
Yeah, it still gets me. I mean, even though I've been at my price now for a couple of years, you know, I'm still kind of like, man, should I, you know, is this a good price? Like, am I too high? Like, you know, so yeah, it's something relatable.
Yeah,
it's a hard thing to kind of wrap your head around. I've been in this business since 1996. Nice. I've been on my own in this business since 99. So the prices that we used to get for a detail and correction versus what we can get today still blows my mind. So getting past that is a hurdle in itself. The fact that we can charge what we can charge, even the people, I give people a hard time all the time for being too inexpensive.
Yeah.
But even the people that are inexpensive are still way more expensive than we charged when we started in this business back then. And that's it's a mental hurdle.
Right.
Because people expect to pay what we charge now, but getting our own minds past that is the hardest part. You know, charging $1,700, $1,800, $1,900 for a one-step correction, full detail and coating. If you would have told me in 2003 or four that today I would be getting those prices, I'd told you were nuts.
Yeah,
it's just our industry has come so far as public awareness and education, and what we do is actually worth that much money. And because it's generally known now, detailers, especially new detailers, they don't understand that by charging $500 for a one step encoding, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. You can make money at that if you're by yourself and you have low overhead, but once you get into a shop situation, you have employees and you have overhead and rent and all these things, that you don't realize that $500 doesn't go very far.
Yeah, exactly. you know, and that's the thing that, like you said, it's a mental thing, right? And I mean, you know, that's the one thing that that I kind of fight with, because like I can come on here and talk with you guys, or, you know, people call me, you know, and ask me for my advice all the time. And I'm just like, dude, you got to raise your fucking prices. You know, you got to stop worrying about the cheap guy or whatever. But like personally, like I struggle with it in my shop. Like I have that same conversation with myself in my head, you know, because I know that's the right thing. But personally, I still struggle with it. And that's the one thing that I try to tell people, you know, that are asking me, you know, like, man, I don't know, like, you know, this, you know, there's that race to the bottom, right? When we should really be racing to the top, we should be trying to one up each other going higher in a sense. And so like, I always tell people, you know, I don't want that bargain client, right? Like, I don't want the client that's looking for a deal, the tire kicker that's gonna be like, well, you know, the guy down the street, man, he's offering it for, you know, a couple $100 cheaper, trying to get you to match it. Like, I don't want that. I want the guy who's done his research, or the lady who's done their research and knows what a correction and coding should cost.
Right.
So yeah. When they call me and I say, hey, it starts at $2,000 depending on condition and size of vehicle, that they go, okay, cool. They already know it, right? Because yeah, what you're going to get with that client, and this is another thing that's really kind of helped me over the mental aspect of, you know, not worrying about the pricing, but looking at the client, right? Like that client that's going to pay that money, you think about it, like when the job's done, they come in the shop and they're like, oh my God, like cars never looked this good. Like, this is amazing, right? Hey, let me go ahead and get you paid out. You know, thanks so much. What do I got to do to care for it? Hop in the car and haul ass, right? But that guy that you caved into and you gave that break to, like, all right, I'll give him a break. I would, like, that guy's like, oh man, you know, like, I really thought for kind of the money that you were charging, even though you did give me a break, like, I thought that would come out, you know, or how come this is that, or whatever here, you know, and next thing you know, you're like 30 minutes walking the vehicle as they're like pointing shit out. And you're just like, fuck, you know, like, so like, that's what, when I tell people to raise their prices, that's what I try to explain to them is don't worry about like the actual cost of the price going up. Worry about like getting rid of that client that's going to be, you know, just a pain in the ass for you. And a lot of times that makes life so much easier.
Alex, how long have you been detailing?
Yeah, I've done that a few times over my career.
How long have you been detailing, what, Jason? How long have you been detailing?
Well, I mean, I started at the car wash in 96.
No, not the car wash. Talking about when you started your business.
7 years ago.
7 years. Okay. Donnie, how about you? How long have you been detailing?
Probably 2010 now. Yeah.
Okay. So about 13 years?
12 years. 13 years. Yep. Yeah.
JP, you've been doing this shit since what? You said 99 when you went on your own?
96. Yeah, 99 on my own.
Okay. So I think that the confidence that you guys are talking about is obviously going to come with over time. JP, I don't know what the fuck your problem is. You've been doing this shit since 1999. Donnie and Alex, you know, Alex being under 10 years and Donnie being a little over 10 years. So I think, you know, give it a few more years, that confidence will build up, because like when you raise your prices, you're obviously going to have that doubt in the back of your mind of like, are these people going to run away because of my price? Should I have raised my prices at all? Because, you know, all that stuff. I think once you start doing that for a couple of years and everything, and I see a lot of detailers saying, don't raise your prices every year. I have no problem with that. I would say maybe every couple of years. And that way it gets your customers comfortable with that price. So once you guys start doing that price change and you get people getting used to it and the people are actually using your service at those prices, that confidence is going to get higher and higher and higher as far as you talking to your clients about the prices and everything of that. And all that second guessing is kind of going to go out the window. That's just my take on it, JP. I don't know what's going on with you, brother.
No, so the pricing is not an issue. I've gotten over that a long time ago. As far as I raised my prices, I've probably raised my prices 3 times in the last 12 months. It doesn't typically get raised that fast. But the last year has been crazy. I have kind of a rule where I try to raise my prices once a year. But if, you know, inflation's going nuts, if everything else is going up, my costs are going up. I'm real big on keeping my costs in reality. You know, if my supplies, you know, my costs go up 3 or 4 times in a year, I'm going to raise my prices. And I don't have a problem with that. My customers don't have a problem with it. They understand that. They're paying more for a gallon of milk now than they did 2 years ago or a year ago.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they understand that they're going to be paying more for their car detail. And I just explain it like that. Look, you know, the cost of everything's gone up. Look, go to the grocery store. Spend $100 at the grocery store now versus spending $100 at the grocery store 12 months ago, and tell me what your take home looks like.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, and if you explain it, I rarely have somebody complain about my prices going up, but if they do, I just explain that to them. And they, it's something that they use, you know, they go to the grocery store 2 times a week. They know prices have gone up. So they're like, oh yeah, you're right. You know, prices have gone up. So, you know, it's not a big deal. People are scared of things that they shouldn't be scared of. And raising prices is something you shouldn't be scared of, especially when everything else has gone up.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I just had to put that up there.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying. And And I wasn't like, so the way that I just explained it was kind of like how we ran our shop that I had, what was it, 2020, 21. So I totally understand that everybody obviously runs their shops differently. What the hell's going on here right now?
Chris DiGiovanni's over there talking shit.
Yeah. I see it now. Jesus. So whatever really works for you as a business owner, keep it going. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously you change your prices three times in 1 year, and if that works, that works, man. And I'm glad that it works for you. That's awesome. So let me ask you this. How big were those price changes? Like, what was the gap between the changes? Was it like hundreds or, you know, thousands?
It was $100 to $200 a couple of times. Okay. My base coating package that, you know, our 5 year normal one step correction and coating package went from $1,250, I think, to $1,550 over the last 12 months.
Okay. That's not terrible. So like when you do your yearly changes, so you said you only changed like a couple of your packages during those three times in that 1 year. So when you do your yearly changes, how big of a jump is that? Is that like more like towards like the 500 to 1,000 end?
Typically 10%, you know, a year. And that's on an average year. If it's crazy, like I said, the last little bit's been nuts with inflation and everything else, so it's gone up a little bit more than that. But, you know, 5 to 10% a year, especially as you're building your business, I don't think is out of the realm at all.
No, I mean, I think the typical growth is supposed to be 10% a year. Increase in pricing is supposed to be around 10% a year or whatever. You know, with how, like you kind of said earlier, with the inflation being kind of, you know, the way it is and everything, that's kind of the thing that, you know, I look at and go like, okay, I feel like I'm already kind of on the high side of pricing. Like, do I just kind of hold out where I am because I'm making pretty good money and, you know, still retain my clients, you know, because I don't want to scare too many of them off because they're paying so much everywhere else. And, you know, at the end of the day, guys and gals, let's just face it. We are a luxury service. Like, we are not needed at all, you know?
Right.
You know, so, you know, do I maybe like, you know, hold my prices a little bit, you know, and not raise them so that I make sure that I'm kind of keeping my clients happy, you know, through, you know, this time where they're paying so much everywhere else. And that's kind of where I think I'm kind of at now. Like, I haven't raised my prices since probably the beginning of 22. Just because, again, like, I feel like I'm at that higher end. So the last thing I want to do is kind of start getting to the point to where I'm a little ridiculous in pricing. You know, and working for a coding company and getting free product kind of helps with the overhead. Yeah. So, you know, at least I got that going for me.
That definitely knocks works. The overhead down a little bit for sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, bottles aren't crazy expensive, but at the same time, like, you know, every hundreds of dollars counts. You know, like, I always look at it as like compounds and polish. I mean, like I met I forgot his name now. One of the detailers from up north at I met him at Verge, and he legitimately like weighed his bottles like before and after doing a car. So he knew exactly how much, like, per ounce, you know, ounces he was using for this compound, this polish, whatever, and was able to like track it. So he knows that, like, okay, I'm using, you know, $1.50 worth of, you know, polish on a car, compound on a car or whatever. And like, I mean, like, that's how detailed he got into like his budgeting and his overhead and everything like that. I look at it and go like, okay, I can buy a 32 ounce bottle of whatever from O'Burke, right? From DBP, and, You know, I'm getting it for what, 30, 40 bucks, whatever. Well, I don't, it's been so long since I bought anything from David because it lasted so long. Like, I don't even know what he sells. I don't even know what the pricing is, right? But that's, you know, again, like, I'm low volume, I'm a one man shop, right? So, like, these 32 ounce quarts or whatever last me forever. Like, am I really going to be like, oh my God, I had to spend $60 on a compound? Like, okay, that compound got me like, you know, a year's worth of cars, you know, so I'd spend $60 a year, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, so I kind of look at that stuff that way. For me, it's more of the bigger ticket items and my overhead, you know, the marketing, the website, the AdWords, the, you know, that type of stuff, that I look at more for, you know, how I feel my prices are.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, I totally have respect for the guy that knows that weighs his bottles when he's done with a car. To me, I don't care how much I spend on an individual car. I know how much I spend on average that month.
Yeah.
Per car. And those are the numbers I look at. Because this car that I went into the shop today, I was late into the shop this morning because we had a little bit of weather. And got to sleep in a little bit, went into the shop because I didn't want to be behind the rest of the week. But I used a ton of compound on this car. It was a one step, but it's a Mercedes. So, you know,
hard paint.
Hard paint. So I used a ton of compound on the car. So to me, it's not fair on the cars that I spend more money on to bill every single ounce of that material that I used on that car. But because the next one, I probably won't use half that much.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So I kind of spread it out for the number of cars I have in the shop for the month for what I spend. So I don't do it per car, but I do it per month on the number of cars that come in the shop. So I know on average, like last month, I think I spent $27 a car per vehicle. And that's between coating, wash chemicals, you know, correction chemicals, things like that. So I do keep pretty good track, but I don't do it per vehicle. I don't have time.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to measure everything out per vehicle, but I just don't have time. So I do it monthly.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I kind of make guesses.
Yeah.
Guesses as I go.
Yeah.
I used 20 on that car. I probably used about $100 on that car. I probably used about 50 on that car. Then I can figure it from there. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
I just go, as long as I'm not ordering a stupid amount of product every month, then I don't really worry about it. Cause I mean, you're going to have to use what you're going to have to use on the car. Right. I mean, if it's multiple pads, if it's, you know, however, you know, have to go over the panel multiple times or whatever, so you're using more chemical, you know, it's got to be done, right? So, I mean, you know, hopefully you're, if you're charging enough, I've said it before, I mean, if you're charging a premium, give your clients premium stuff, you know, don't chintz out or whatever. Yeah. And that's where, you know, a lot of these guys who, you know, maybe are too afraid of raising their prices, or just like, you know, hey, whatever, $500 today is better than no dollars today kind of mentality. But, you know, if you're, you know, I mean, if you're overhead, if you're, you know, taking in, you know, your average for your shop costs for the day, electricity, water, you know, paying your employees or paying yourself and all that stuff, you know, at the end of the day, like, how are you profiting? I mean, if you're making $500 and spending $500 and you're like, oh, whatever, you know, leave, so I didn't lose any money.
Right.
So I don't know. But let's jump into a commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll tackle a little bit of the marketing and hiring and stuff like that. See if we
sounds good.
What are you laughing at?
You went to the dark side of the industry, bro. You fucking Darth Vader now, bitch.
How?
You went to sales.
Is that what they're saying? That's what Walt said. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
Hey, Stats, did you get that commercial? Did you get the discount code for it? Stats asked me the other day, so what's the coupon code for Car Supplies Warehouse? And I was like, they're doing it for Detail Wise, not Car Supplies anymore. okay, so onto the marketing side, because JP, I know that was kind of one of your things, and that was kind of my thing too, you know, like I said earlier, like I feel like no matter which way the wind is blowing for marketing to work, as soon as I get over there, it's like, nope, it's over there now, you know, and I got to go running over there to try to catch up to it. So, you know, what are the things for you with the marketing that you just feel like you can't, you know, get hold of?
So it's exactly like you're saying, it's a moving target. So no matter what, you think you're doing the right thing, and then everybody's like, no, it's something else. So you try something else, and they're like, you go to that thing. You're like, well, no, that's not it. Maybe try this. It's a constant moving target, and it's exhausting.
Yes.
You to move the target?
Yeah.
What's that?
You got to be ahead of it. You got to be ahead of it.
Damn fucking right. Get ahead of that shit.
But if you don't know marketing, how do you know where to be ahead of?
Exactly. That's not my thing.
I'm not a marketing guru and I'm not a marketing genius, but I know marketing is easy because my wife does it on a daily basis. And when she started, had no fucking clue how to do marketing. You can learn it on your own. And there's free programs on Google that you could use to teach yourself marketing, basic marketing skills.
Correct.
And it's free. And it's free.
I've been in sales forever. Like, so selling myself is not an issue. Getting me in front of people to sell can be an issue, and it moves all the time. Yeah. You know, Facebook marketing, it's one of those things where I feel it's necessary. Facebook is a necessary evil in my business. So it works, but you have to know where to spend your money, who to throw that money towards to get the results. And if you get me 10 results, you know, I'll close 30% of them on Facebook, and it makes it worth it. But you have, it's one of those things where you always have to have leads coming in. And, you know, you spend $50 on Facebook 1 week and it could bring you 50 leads. You spend $50 on Facebook the next week, it could bring you 5. So your, you know, your 30% close rate or 40% close rate, or if you're really, really, really good and you have time to chase these people, 50% close rate, it's still always changing. Like how you make your ads, who you send your ads to, it is like I said, it's a moving target. So it's not the same thing all the time. So if you're throwing your money at the same thing and you got results, and you the next week you throw your money at the exact same thing, you could miss. So that's frustrating. I don't limit myself to just Facebook. I kind of throw my net in a wider area, but if you can only afford one thing, make sure that the net that you're casting in that one thing is getting as many people as you can. And it doesn't matter how many leads you get in. If you can't close, it doesn't matter. So having a closing technique and a sales and a way to get from somebody saying, "Hey, you know, I'd love a quote on my 2023 Range Rover," and to getting it in your shop and actually start working on it. If you don't have a process to do that, it doesn't matter how many leads you get in. So you have to be able to cast a net in the correct direction, which that direction is always moving. But you always have to have a way to get whatever you do get out of your marketing efforts and your marketing dollar. You have to be able to get those people through your door. And the getting them through the door has not been an issue for me. It's learning the direction to cast my net. So that like I said, that moving target is always an issue.
Yeah. And Chris made a point, you know, how many of the marketing items have you stuck with for a year consistently? And I know that is, you know, kind of the trick. It's, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So you just can't throw something, you know, and then next week be like, well, fuck it, that didn't make me any money, right? You know, but, you know, and I know Chris is probably very right with, you know, that year mark, you know, but sometimes you don't have a year, you know, and you just can't constantly throw money at something for a whole year and it, you know, it, you know, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, and it's not working. So, you know, that's kind of the other thing is find, like, how do you, you know, finding that thing that maybe, you know, in 3 months to 4 months, you can, you know, it starts working and you start making, you know, some leads or getting calls or, you know, generating some business for that. Then, you know, you can start generating more money to start kind of, you know, funneling to other places or things like that. And that's my problem, you know, or was my problem is, you know, we only have a certain amount of money dedicated for budgeting. And, you know, if I'm throwing something all in at something and it's, you know, take 6 months, 8 months, and it's not working, like I'm going to pull my money out of that one thing and I'm going to go and try something else for some other time. And I think that's, you know, maybe something that people have to understand too, is that, you know, it obviously takes time. I mean, I just did AdWords and I'm going to say it again on the podcast for maybe people who are listening to this episode that didn't hear the last one. You know, I started up an AdWords campaign because I was like, you know, screw it. I'm going to try it. Like, I hate doing the whole pay for click kind of thing because because realistically you got to spend a lot of money with it, you know, for it to do well. But when I was talking with Google for some help on something, they told me, they said, "Hey, would you like a complimentary, you know, consult on setting up your campaign. And I was like, well, okay, free, sure. Because most of the SEO, or not the SEO, but most of the AdWord companies that you sign up with, it's like $1,000 a month for them to run your AdWords campaign on top of whatever you're spending on ads, right?
Right.
And I was like, man, free? Like, sign me up, you know? But I asked her, I said, you know, when I was talking to the group, Cam, it's a good thing we're in Australia. But I asked her, I said, you know, like, hey, if I need to make changes or if I want to do something down the line, what is this going to cost me? And she said, no, when you run a Google Ads, it's always complimentary. And so I was like, wait, so these guys are charging like $1,000 a month and you guys are giving it away for free? And she's like, yeah, pretty much, you know? So wow. Like everybody who's listening, like not to shut down anybody who's, you know, charging $1,000, you're probably worth it. But, you know, for the people who maybe don't have huge budgets for it or don't have the money for it and want to get started, Google will do it for free. But you know, and the lady told me, you know, and it's the same thing like Chris said, you know, that first month is learning, right? Learning what is working, right? And then you go into the second month and you kind of readjust. And then by like month three or four, it should start, you know, optimizing very well. So, you know, I mean, you at least have to give it that 3 to 5 months, I would say, with any of this stuff.
Yeah, you got to give it a chance. And one thing I'll say, don't rest on something that has worked in the past thinking that it's still doing the same thing either. So I had somebody working on my SEO, and when I first started up with them, it was fantastic. Like, the returns were incredible.
Right.
And I just let it go. Because it was doing so good, I never really looked into it. And after 3, 4, 6 months, I don't know that they were doing anything for me.
Right.
So moving money around too, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
And leaving it alone and just saying, oh, well, it's worked for me. It worked for me when they first started up, but what are you doing for me now?
Right.
And everything's moving that around.
And everything's always changing because, I mean, Sarah, who we've had on the podcast with Incluse Media Marketing, damn it, Cam, you know, she does all my social media stuff. And in fact, she had messaged me, I think it was like maybe a month or so ago, and she said, hey, Alex, listen, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, some posts are doing better now at this time versus that time that we've been doing them. So she goes, I just want to let you know, like, I'm going to switch when you're, and you know, and I'm like, Sarah, I don't care as long as it's working. Right. Like, I don't care if you post them in the middle of the night. Right. But like, you know, that, but you're right. Like, you have to constantly kind of be moving it around and changing it up and everything. Cause if you're just running it always at the same time, you know, people are going to see past it or be like, oh, it's the same thing. Like, you know, I'm going to scroll past it or skip past it or whatever. So if you're popping up at a different time, you might catch different people.
Right. If I see it in the morning, I might not care about it as much as I'd care about it in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, or maybe they're scrolling at work and so they're not really paying attention. They might see
exactly.
It. Yeah. So maybe later in the day is better. So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, marketing is just a tough thing. I mean, I think, you know, anybody can say, you know, well, you got to do it this way or that way, or, you know, go over here and do that and do this. But, you know, I also think that different markets work differently too. You know, what, you know, JP, you're in North Florida, right? You're an hour and a half ish, maybe 2 hours max away.
Yeah, from Northeast. You. I'm just on the west side of Jacksonville.
Right. So like you could be doing something that works great for you in Jacksonville. I try it down here in Orlando and it doesn't work, and vice versa. And same thing for Jason being in Tampa, like another 2 hours away from me. Jason could do something that maybe works great for him, doesn't work for me. So I mean, I think that's the other thing you kind of have to look at too, is how does your market, you know, take these things or work with these things or whatever. So, that's all I got.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jason, you got something?
I just say stay consistent also with your social media. I mean,
yes,
that's basically free marketing there. Yeah. You can pay for, you know, to soup up your ads and everything, but like, if you don't want to do that and you just want to use those platforms, just stay consistent with it.
That's what I was going to say. I haven't ever really paid.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I haven't ever really paid for advertising. I've done marketing and stuff, but like Jason said, I've just constantly been posting on social media, Facebook posts, Instagram posts, Google, my business profile. That's the most important one. Keep posting on that.
Yeah, that is a big one that a lot of people don't think of, is Google My Business.
That's the number one right there.
Yeah, because it does, you know, like Chris told me in the beginning, it does help Google recognize your website Google My Business page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so even if you're just doing a post to there, you know, people might not click on it or see it or whatever, but Google's going to register it as like, hey, this guy's posting stuff, or this person's posting stuff, and recognizes your business page more too.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Google My Business thing is huge. That's the only outside thing that I pay for, is somebody handle my Google My Business page. Everything else, the best thing I ever did was hire an office manager about 2.5-3 months ago. She handles all of our social media posts. She does all of, like, following up with the people that have questions on the money that I do spend on Facebook advertising. She follows up with those people. She goes back through our current customer lists and asks our customers that we already have for business and things like that. Like, you don't realize, you know, I'm going out of town. Our 20th wedding anniversary is coming up next week. So I'm going to be gone from the shop. And when I'm out of the shop, there's things that my shop can't handle if I'm not there. Two-step corrections, things like that. They're just things that I handle when I'm there. So when I'm not there, they need to do cleaning coats and you know, new car packages, things like that. And she just reached out to our previous customers. You know, I've been in business a long time. She just started messaging and emailing customers that we already have, and filled up that entire time for while I'm gone.
Right.
By just emailing customers that we've already paid to get in the shop.
Yeah.
Right. And things like that, people don't realize, you know, you're having a slow month, you know, it's back to school.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Detailers are slow right now. I don't care how long you've been in business. This time of year, the phone slows down because people have, you know, sports and volleyball and basketball and all these things that happen when your kids first go back to school. So getting their car cleaned is not on their list. So while you're slow, contact the people you've already sold. That's the easiest sale in the world. They already trust you with their vehicle.
Yeah.
So just shoot an email blast out to your entire contact list.
Right. And it's good that you have a front house person to do that, a receptionist or whatever to do that. You know, for a lot of guys like myself that don't, where what comes in really good is if you have a good CRM, you know, because yes, most CRMs nowadays are built with that, you know, emailer or text message where you can go in, you know, and type in a message. You know, I did one for when back to school started down here like 2 weeks ago, you know, was just kind of like, okay, you know, it's back to school time. You know, now the kids are, you know, or something like, now that the kids are back in school, you know, it's time to get the grime cleaned out of the car. You know, we're, mm-hmm. you know, we're taking appointments or whatever. I did it and then emailed it out to my whole customer list, you know? So, I mean, that's another good thing too, is with CRMs, you could do that. And make
that's a key word right there, man. CRM.
Yeah.
That's a key. What's CRM stand for, man?
Customer retention. I don't know.
It helps. So, yeah. The first thing I did was go into, You're Able and say, look, that's what we use.
Yeah.
We have, 300, 400, 500. I don't even know how many customers we have in You're Able now. We've been using them for 4 years. Chris. And we just sent a message out to everybody. Look, hey, it's back to school. Your car's going to be neglected. You got all these sports and all these things going on. Let's get it cleaned up beforehand so we don't have to worry about it, in a month from now. It already started out dirty. It's going to get worse. It's low-hanging fruit. Your current customers that have already spent money with you is low-hanging fruit. Go after that.
Who said that?
Fucking Cam.
I don't even think he saw. Did you see the message, Donnie?
No, I can't see nothing. It's like showing something on the bottom, but I can't barely see it.
Cam wants you to point to who your favorite is.
My favorite.
I think he was trying to ask subtly.
I want that belt right there.
Yeah. That one right over there.
Yeah, that belt.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that belt too. Yeah. Well, listen, let's take our last commercial break and then we'll come back and wrap this up.
So tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out going, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name's Alan Medcraft. I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper is giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
All righty. So, yeah, I don't know. You guys got anything else you want to talk about it? I mean, we're kind of getting towards that hour mark, but I mean, we can run a little bit longer.
Well, one of the things that I had mentioned was employees.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, the hiring. Yeah,
hiring people.
That's just
and that's
weird. That's where I'm at too.
Hiring is, like I said, marketing. My issue is trying to nail down a moving target. Hiring is just one of those things that makes me want to pull my hair out.
Yeah.
So let's chat about that.
I fucking hate it. It's the worst.
I don't know. I've done a lot of hiring in my years at the car wash, but not in the detail shop because it's just me and that's kind of how I want it to be, right? Like I just don't want to deal with that,
That's how I am. I like to be quiet at work and listen to my podcast and go home.
it's tough. It's tough, JP. I mean, trying to go back to my you know, my experience at the car wash, I mean, a lot of times I would just, you know, go through and, you know, because I mean, we had, you know, just like generic, like, you know, applications they had to fill out, you know. I mean, now kind of everything's done online, right? Like, you don't go in and fill out a physical application. It's all like, you know, go on the website and fill it out kind of thing. But, you know, I mean, I would just read through the applications and see, you know, how they filled it out, you know, and kind of paid attention to just some of the details, right? Like, were words spelled correctly? Like, how was their handwriting? Does it look like they just rushed through filling this out so their handwriting was super sloppy, you know, or was maybe their handwriting a little, you know, nicer, neater, whatever? And you know, and then of course looking at their work history, you know, were they working at places for, you know, lengthy periods of time, you know, or were they just there for 4 or 5 months and then it was on to the next one for 4 or 5 months, you know, kind of things. Then I would, you know, that stack would get dwindled down to the ones that I was like, okay, these seem like, you know, worthy people of an interview, you know, and then you call and you schedule an interview, and then some of them come in, some of them don't. You leave a message, they don't call you back, you know. So then you're dwindling that stack down to interviews, and then you get them in for an interview. You know, did they come in like they really wanted the job? They dress the part, they look nice, they talk well, they sit up straight, you know, look you in your eyes, you know, or, you know, did they come in like, you know, almost like they forgot about it or it was an inconvenience and it's just like, yeah, man, you know, whatever, you know, and then, you know, kind of dwindled from there. So, you know, I mean, as a shop owner, depending on like how you're hiring people or how many people you'd hire, I mean, at the car wash, I mean, we'd go through hiring phases, you know, like I'd need like, you know, 10 people at a time, 5 people at a time or whatever. But if you're just looking for that one, then, you know, I mean, I think you still kind of have to do the same thing, you know, and then you have to, I know the biggest thing with detailers is they're always worried about, you know, like, well, I don't want to spend all this time training them. And then they go out
and they go,
right. And they go out and do their own thing. Right. So,
yep.
So one of the guys who is in my complex, he does, power washing and like pavement sealers and stuff like that. So he stores all his trucks and equipment in the complex where my shop is. And I was talking to him one day and he said it so perfectly. And I forget exactly how he said it, but the way that he said it is you've got to find somebody who is motivated enough to work, not motivated enough to be an entrepreneur. Right?
Makes sense.
That's that person you have to find. You want that person that wants to work, enjoys coming into work with you, has a good time, but they're not trying to be, you know, an owner. They don't want to go out and start a business. They don't want that headache and that hassle. And that's the hire. That's the person you find. How you find that person, he didn't tell me that, but he did tell me like that.
I've always heard you want to look for somebody that's like that has not to say I guess debt, but like house payments, and they need a job, and you know they're gonna show up because they need that money every day. So it's not going to be like just, oh, I need it for pizza money or go out on the weekend type of money. They actually need steady income money. So if you could find somebody that has something like that, then yeah, it's a good take on. But you have to find somebody that pretty much.
Yeah. And Chris says, fuck your handwriting. Nobody cares about that. He wants to know if we're paying for partial work day with SOP. You know, see if directions can be followed. And yeah, you're right, Chris. You know, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when I'm looking at a resume, I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, who this person is off of what they did on the resume.
I will say,
people get a lot of resumes, man.
They can.
People, and I've been victim of that, hiring two fucking people. Because I hired somebody who was like, oh yeah, I got tons of experience in detail. I was like, all right, great. And so fucking they go and start polishing. I'm like, what the fuck? This dude has no idea what the fuck he's doing. So it sucks. And like I've been, and then, and from that point on, after that experience, when somebody came in and was like, oh, I got experience, I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to give you fucking 3 days to prove it. If you don't prove it to me, then I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah. Well, when we hired in the detail shop at the car wash, a lot of times what we would do is we would say, look, you know, bring in a car, you know, you're going to do a full detail on it. You know, we'll, you know, let you use all our products and everything like that. You know, we didn't even give a shit if they were charging somebody for it, you know, and we, and, but that was their audition, you know, at the end of the detail. Myself and the detail manager would go and look the vehicle over and then go, okay, yeah, you know, they have the experience to do it.
It's quite an interview.
Yeah. So let me ask you this though. Would you guys be more inclined to hire somebody that has experience, or would you rather take somebody that doesn't have any fucking experience and then train
them? I really want somebody with no experience. I want somebody that has no clue what they're doing, but likes cars or likes the idea of working on cool cars, and train them how to do it properly than I would take somebody that has experience.
Yeah,
I've been doing this a long time. Everybody that I've hired that has experience thinks they know everything, whether they worked at a dealership for 6 months or at a detail shop for 6 years. They don't want to hear anything about how I want it done.
Yeah.
They want to know how much money they're going to make and just let them go and detail a car.
Yeah.
If you're working for me, I want you to be excited about coming to work every day. I pay my people very well. I treat them well, but I don't want them to come with me with a notion that what they know is the right way to do it. Because there's 50 right ways to do something. There's only one way to do it the way I want you to do. And if you don't care about that, I don't need you in my shop.
Yeah. Well, Chris is asking, is your issue finding people or keeping people?
My issue is finding people. Keeping people is not an issue.
Yeah.
Finding people.
I want to answer the question real quick about hiring with experience or not experience. I'm partial to either because obviously the no experience, you guys explained it very well. It's very easy to train somebody your way to do things. Right. I've had people where I've had to train them my way and it worked out really well. I've also had people who had really good experience and that worked out really well because they didn't bring like an ego with them or nothing. They brought that willingness to learn. And that was key to that hire right there. So we were bouncing ideas off each other all the time. Like we would literally talk shop, be like, hey, what do you think about this product? I've never tried that. Let me try it. And then like vice versa, as far as like anything, chemicals, product, pads, even how we talk to customers, like, it was a very good relationship. So I think it's when you hire somebody with experience, you really got to go more in depth on how that person is and get a good feel for them rather than if you hire somebody with no experience. Because obviously going the no experience route is a lot easier because like JP said, he can hire somebody and mold them into his version of himself, right? Whereas bringing somebody on with very well good experience, you know, it's either going to gel or it's not going to gel. So
yeah, I think with somebody that's got experience, as long as they have a willingness or an open mind to maybe learn, you know, and say like, you know, cause that was the thing I always told people at the car wash, right? Like I'm going to show you my way first because this is the way we do it at the car wash. But if you come to me and you go, hey, Alex, that's cool and all, but you know, let me just tell you my way or let me show you my way. Because I think it's a little bit better proficient-wise, time-wise, whatever, then I would at least have an open mind to let them show me their way to go like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, I like that. You know, let's do it that way or something like that. So I think that's kind of a cool thing, too, is as long as they at least have an open mind, and two, as long as you have an open mind, because mm-hmm. maybe they know something that you don't. You know, I mean, one of my buddies here was a diehard Flex guy. I mean, like, all he used was Flex machines, and he hired a guy that you know preferred to use Rupas. You know, and then he's like looking at his employees' work, and he's like, "Holy shit, yours is kind of finishing down better than mine." And we all know that the DA finishes down better than force rotation, you know. And so now he switched because his employee showed him that he could finish paint down, you know. And so now he's using Rupes machines to finish down. He still uses his flexes to cut and stuff like that. So. You know, I think it has to be at least a little bit of an openness on both sides. If you're got somebody with experience, somebody that's going to be willing to adapt to your style and want to learn, and then maybe somebody who could show you maybe what they know, and maybe help adapt your style.
It's definitely something to have an open mind about.
Yeah. What's up? All right. Who goes first?
Donnie, no, go ahead. First.
I was going to say, usually, like, I haven't had many employees, maybe just like one or two, but usually I'll work with other detailers, and they've shown me all kinds of stuff that as long as I don't let my ego get all high and then learn from them, you've learned so many more tricks. So I know exactly what you mean there. You just have to be open to it. So,
no, for sure. Absolutely. And everybody watch out at Cars and Coffee, because Walt's going to be showing up with some applications looking to hire people now that Chris said to go to the car shows with applications. That might not be a bad idea. You walked by and you like swirled the shit, paint looks hazy. Whoa, that's good looking paint right there. Let's talk to that guy.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, anything else about hiring you want to talk about, JP?
My biggest thing, so I it's not that I won't hire somebody that has experience. I prefer somebody without experience.
Right.
I have a guy in my shop that I just hired about probably a month and a half ago that came from a dealership. And we all have our experience with dealership detail shops. But he came to me, he was willing to learn. He wanted to know the right way to do things, and he didn't come with an attitude about it. He's worked out really well. I think he's going to be with me long term. He's asking the right questions. He's doing the right things at the shop. He's got hustle. And if he's used to doing something a certain way and I want him to do something different, he doesn't have an attitude about it. To me, that's a rarity. I've hired and trained a lot of people over the years in this business, and I've had easier time hiring people with no experience. It's not that I won't hire somebody that has experience. I just literally, if you come from detailing experience, I'd say, look, I understand that, but this is my shop. This is the way I want to do things. If you have a different idea about something, I'll listen to it. But in the end, if it comes down to your way of you have done things and the way that I've done things, if you have a problem with that, you know, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
So he's done really well for me, and having an open mind is important, but you want to make sure that the person that you hire that has experience didn't just get bounced from their last job for not doing the right, you know, doing the right thing, doing their job the way they were supposed to do, and doesn't have a willingness to learn the way you want things done, because in the end it is your shop, and you want to make sure that somebody does things to the standard that you want them done.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, yeah. I mean, when you're hiring people, dude, there's a lot of things that are going to go through, like, you know, how they fit, how they work, you know, how they're, you know, whatever. And, you know, again, like I said before, I can't, you know, chime in too much about it, cause I haven't done any of it in like 7+ years or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's, sometimes it's just gut feeling too, right? You know? We're past the hour, Chris. We're like 15 minutes. But yeah, man, listen, I hope this has helped some people. I mean, again, you know, it's you know, I think it's going to be one of those things, you know, to use Jason's favorite term, you know, being a master at, you know, I think all these things, marketing and you know, the self-confidence and the hiring and all that stuff, like how do you really become masters at all of those things, right? So I mean, hopefully we've helped maybe some people, give some people some ideas, you know, of how to maybe tackle some of these things or maybe how to approach them or whatever. Again, I do appreciate you guys for, you know, commenting on the post, you know, and then, you know, kind of short notice to text you guys last night and being able to come on the podcast. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right. So we're going to let you guys go. It's like these guys are saying that I'm old and it's past the hour and all this stuff. Jason's texting me that I got to hurry up and go to school tomorrow morning. So he's got to go. I still probably have another good hour of downloading this and everything to get it ready for tomorrow. So again, guys, thank you so much, man. It's, you know,
I had
fun with this one, hopefully, you know, cause it's something that I don't really know. So, I mean, just kind of hashing it out with you guys was like a nice, you know, true round table discussion. And thanks for, you know, everyone in the comment section that was commenting stuff that I could at least put onto the screen.
Mine's Chris.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, you guys have a good night. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye. Have a good one.
All right, man. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, like I said, hopefully maybe it worked for some people. Maybe some people get something out of this. Midway through, some people might be like, who the fuck is that talking? But no, it was just you. It was you talking.
Me?
Yeah, you took kind of control there for a little while in the middle. I was like, there he goes. It's talking.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, like I always want you to talk. Listen, you're always listening.
I got a public speaking class I got to take next semester, so I'm getting my practice in.
Gotcha. So Jason's gonna be talking more now. He's got practice.
Yeah, man. But I really enjoyed this episode. I'm happy that we had two guests on because, like I said in the beginning, this is it's being vulnerable about things that, you know, people are sometimes afraid to talk about publicly. You know, people don't want to admit that they need work in some areas. I mean, shit, I'm a horrible businessman. That's why when I had a shop, I had a partner who dealt with that shit.
Right.
I'm not afraid to admit that. Not everybody can do it. And good on you for the ones who are good businessmen.
Good for you guys.
I'm the hands-on guy. That's what I'm good at. And if you're good at both, kudos.
Listen, and we always say, right? I mean, there's great detailers who are terrible business people, and they're great business people who are terrible detailers. So, you know, it definitely, you know, it goes, you know, there's going to be people that are going to have, you know, conflict or whatever, or not conflict, but there's too many things popping up at one time. I can't concentrate anymore. I got people texting me. You guys are chatting back and forth in the private chat. There's a comment section going on over here. Like, I'm sorry. Whatever. I don't know what I was going to say. But yeah. All right. Well, listen, we appreciate everybody who stuck around, everybody who chimed in. No, I'm definitely not thinking about that redheaded ginger. we appreciate everybody as always. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening to us. Have a good day, night, weekend, whenever you're listening to this. And my name is Alex Russell, and say hi to your mom for me.